As you go through life, there are lessons that you learn. Life is a great teacher. And one of the lessons that you learn through life is that life is hard. We have struggles, we have difficulties, we face illnesses, we face disappointments. And I think all of us here today, we have had moments where we've come to that conclusion, wow, this is hard. Life is difficult. But another conclusion that I've quickly come to, especially as a Christian, is that God is good. You know, life is hard, but we have a Father who is unbelievably good in ways that sometimes we struggle to understand. We know that life is filled with adversity, it's tough, it's challenging. But sometimes the goodness of our God is lost in our lives. The things that we go through, the busyness of life, sometimes blurs us to what really matters. I think we lose sight of our Father at times in our own pursuits as we're pursuing our own dreams. We lose sight of our Father in our quest for our own independence. Maybe we lose sight of our Father in the turmoil and struggles of our existence. Do we realize that God never loses sight of us? That God always knows where we're at? One of the great inventions for parents, it's the tracking app on phones. It's especially great if you have a teenager, even more essential if you have a teenage daughter, right, Jalen? It's always good as a parent to know where your kids are. Do we understand that our Father always knows where we're at? That God knows what we're going through? If you are in the middle of the biggest crisis of your life right now, and that's what's swirling through your mind, it's hard for you to even focus on what's being said. If you're facing a struggle that's unlike anything you've ever faced, and some of you probably are, God knows. If this morning you're battling loneliness, God knows. If you're facing uncertainties in your health, you have tests coming up that you're concerned about, not sure what the results are going to be, God knows. If you have traveled far, far away from God, if you're like the prodigal this morning and you've traveled to that far country, you've left home and you've traveled as far as you possibly can away from the Father, God knows. We often lose sight of God. I know I'm guilty of that in my life. I move through life and I just become so consumed with my own pursuits. I become so consumed with what I'm going through that I lose sight of what really matters most. At times I lose sight of God. But God always has his eyes on us. He seeks us. He searches for us. He never gives up on us. We are always on his mind and in his thoughts. And what God desires, what he wants, if you were able to just get into the mind and into the heart of God, you look at the Bible from beginning to end, the one thing that emerges, God wants relationship with us. He wants connection with you. He wants intimacy. And this morning and over the next few weeks, I want to show you what can happen when we also want connection with our Father. We understand how relationships work. We know that relationships involve two parties. In marriages, you have the husband and wife. In families, you have parents and children. We know that relationships have this two-way dynamic. That's also true in our relationship with God. Now, God, we know what he wants. And God, he isn't going to move. He's always going to be there for us. It comes down to what we want. What do you really want out of life? What are you really pursuing? What matters most to you? Let me show you what's possible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's available to you. What we just read, everything right here in Psalm 23, these words that are so familiar to us, all of this is available to you because this doesn't necessarily describe you this morning. This describes David. This is the psalmist. This is David and the relationship that he has with God at this moment. Now, this is available to you. You can have everything that David writes about, but right now, this might not necessarily describe your life. You might be led by something else. You might be led by your own selfishness. You might be led by all of the things that you want to do. But you need to see that this can be yours. What do you consider to be the most uplifting, the most encouraging words in Scripture? I think of Matthew chapter 11 where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Even here this morning, after Thanksgiving, we have opportunity to be surrounded by our family, but sometimes we just get tired. And Jesus, he invites us to something that we want. Come to me if you're tired. Come to me if you're weary. Come to me if you're just burdened down by life, and I will give you rest. Like, wow. I need to hear those words. I want some of that. Peter's words in Acts 2 also make my list, that I can change, that I can repent, and I can be baptized, and that I can have all of my sins cleansed. But when you think about words in Scripture that are uplifting, words that are encouraging, words that we just need to hear over and over again, this psalm always makes the list. It's refreshing. It's comforting. This is the prize of the Psalms, David's jewel, the refreshing oasis in the middle of a desert. It's a picture of connection. It's a picture of a relationship that existed between one man and his God. Now, when you look at these words, what do you see? We look at the Bible, and sometimes the children's Bibles that we look at, they have pictures that illustrate everything that's going on. I'm a picture guy. What pictures come to your mind when you listen to Psalm 23 being read? I see a human soul, safe and secure, in the arms of a loving God. And when you know the person who's actually writing this, when you know David's life, everything that he's been through, the ups, the downs, the victories, the defeat, we're able to get here at a point in his life where he is safe and secure in the arms of his father. He's not running from his life from Saul anymore. He's not giving in to temptation with Bathsheba anymore. It's all about his relationship with God. Because no matter where we're at some point, this is where we have to get. If we can just erase everything that's going on and just focus on this, our relationship with God. That's what matters. That's the only thing that matters. And these words, they reach through the anxiety of life. They reach down into the depths of our hearts because it's bringing comfort from above. These words, they pull aside the curtain and they reveal to us a picture of our loving Father caring for each of us individually. I don't know that we can actually calculate the impact of these words over the years. How many burdens have been relieved? How many doubts have been driven out? How many tears wiped away through the reading of this psalm? Courage has come, confidence has returned, consolation has replaced mourning. These words have been at work for thousands of years. In the power and comfort and strength that they provide, it hasn't been diminished. The Lord is my shepherd. I never get tired of hearing those words. Now, as familiar as these words are to us, there's still some things we may not know. Are you aware of the other two psalms that frame this one? Psalm 23 is very familiar to us. If we were to ask people just out in the world, what words do you know from Scripture? In the Old Testament, it'd probably be Psalm 23. In the New Testament, it would be John 3:16. Do you know Psalm 22 and Psalm 24? This little poem that David writes here is between the Psalm of the Cross and the Psalm of the Crown. In Psalm 22, there is pictured the Good Shepherd who died, who gave his life for his sheep, the Savior who suffered in our place. In Psalm 24, we see the chief shepherd reappearing in glory, bringing crowns for his people. We have these images, these two pictures that are an unchanging part of Jesus' identity. He is our suffering Savior. And he is also our glorious King. And in the middle of those two psalms, in the middle of our suffering Savior, in the middle of our glorious King, we find the shepherd psalm. The Lord as our caring shepherd. Now consider the power of these images. Jesus is our suffering Savior. The image of the cross, it's forever etched in our minds. Jesus, our glorious King, Jesus reigning at the right hand of God, even as we're here this morning. We have those images in our minds, the image of the cross, the image of Jesus as King. But he's also our shepherd. The shepherd psalm will mean more to us if we view it in this setting. If we get this full picture of who our Savior is, strength and steadiness and serenity and security will be ours as the message of this psalm breaks in on our hearts. Because we know, like I said at the beginning, that life is tough. How do we get through? How do we manage? How do we keep going? We know that David wrote these words, and it was almost certainly the contribution of his more mature years. He had suffered deeply and had tasted the bitter cup. He had known the trying path, the tragic need, and the heart-wrenching hurt. He had also been blessed with the comfort that only comes from above, the wise guidance of the Father, the ever-present touch of the Savior's hand, and the satisfaction of having safely come through many trials. David knew the shepherd, and he had found him everlastingly adequate. This psalm is very personal. David's words, they reveal much about himself and his God. And as you look at David's life, David understands that he needs help. Now just take record of everything that David has accomplished. David, this shepherd boy who is anointed by Samuel to be king over Israel. David, this little boy that everybody thought, hey, he's worthless. We're not even going to bring him here to the crowning ceremony. David, who wasn't on the battle lines when Israel was faced off with the Philistines. He's not even worth bringing here. It's that guy that killed Goliath. It's that guy that became king over Israel, who became probably the most powerful man in the world. But he knew that he still needed God. He finally realized that he needed help. And so full confession is made of his complete dependence on God. This man, who could really just snap his finger and get whatever he wanted. You want Bathsheba? Go get her, bring her to me. You want more servants? Go get them and bring them to me. This man realized he needed help, that he needed God. So he confesses his struggles with losing his way. He also confesses his ignorance. This is a personal message about David by David. Lord, I need you. Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I am unwise. David, despite the fact that he was king, despite the fact that he became the world's most powerful man, he understood his helplessness. At some point, he realized his helplessness. He had become the sheep that he led in his youth. He couldn't protect himself. He couldn't provide for himself. And we look at David right here in this moment. He longed for connection. He longed for companionship. And through all of life's experiences, David found his father to be faithful. And so here the psalmist reveals his great love for his shepherd. And it pours out of every line in this psalm. David had fallen in love with his divine guide. In every moment with him, it was joy. A beautiful assurance it runs through this psalm, transforming it into a shout of triumph. No emergency could be too much for him. No dark valley could be a conqueror over him. No hour in all of life could be without victory, because the eternal shepherd guarantees it. And David delights to claim the shepherd as his own. How did he like to use the word my? Just look at the personal touch of this psalm. My shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me. He restores my soul. He leads me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They protect me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Everything about this is personal. And I think that's what some of us are missing the most. We have a lot of things in life. We've got the cars. We've got the houses. We've got the money compared to other nations. Oh, we have so much. But do we really have anything at all? If you don't have this, you really have nothing. We're going to dig into this psalm over the next several weeks. But there's one last thought that I want to share with you here this morning. And I expressed it earlier, and I want to emphasize it. This can be yours. What we read right here in Psalm 23 doesn't have to be something that was written thousands of years ago about David. This can describe you. All of this right here in Psalm 23, this can be your life. It can be your existence. Because this type of relationship is available to all of us. All of us can have this type of connection with our Father. We can have this security. We can have this protection. We can have this guidance, this comfort, the hope that David writes about. That can be ours. As you look at David's life from the early years tending his father's sheep, to the battle with Goliath, to the long journey to becoming king, to that sin with Bathsheba, to the writing of this psalm, we see that David's heart now fully belongs to God. And no matter where you're at this morning, the same can be said for you. If you're struggling with anxiety and fear and grief, the Lord's hand is near. If you're seeking direction for life, you're not sure which way to go, the Lord will lead you beside the still waters. He will lead you in paths of righteousness. God will never lead you in the wrong direction. If you're facing battles that just seem too big for you, God is ready to take up your fight. Maybe it's a battle against addiction. Maybe it's a battle against a temptation. Maybe it's a battle in your finances. Maybe it's a battle in your relationships. Whatever the battle, God is ready to fight for you. Don't miss this message. All of this can be yours. The Lord can be your shepherd. He can be your guide. He can be your protector. He can be your victory. Because it's one thing to read Psalm 23 and say, wow, what an amazing writing. What a relationship that David had with his God. You know, that was great for David. Make sure it describes you. Make sure it's what you have. That everything that David writes in Psalm 23 is about you. About you and the relationship that you have with your God. This morning, maybe you need to be baptized into Christ. Salvation, nothing compares to it. And it's available through our God. We look at our shepherd who provides everything for us. The top of the list is salvation. Maybe you need to be baptized into Christ this morning. Maybe you're just struggling in life. Life is hard. But let me remind you that God is good. If we can help you in any way this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.